him. That means, y'all, that nobody is too far. Nobody is too stained. Nobody is too late. Nobody is too lost. Nobody is too complicated for God to bring into his family if you'll just believe. And the good news of this text is simple, but it's strong. When you receive the Son, God gives you the right to become his child. Oh my, oh my. Do y'all know that there could be a whole lot of other words there to replace his child? Is there anybody glad that, amen, it says that he gives you the right, that he didn't say, amen, that he gives you the right to become his project? Or his problem, or his mistake, or his afterthought. I'm so glad, amen, that, amen, that when I believe on his Son, y'all, I have the right to stand flat-footed and look anybody in the face and tell them I am a child of God. Am I by myself in this church this morning? So today I want to preach from the subject, children of God. And if this text is going to live in us, I believe it gives us three movements. First, we see the response of reception. Yes, Lord. Second, we see the reward of adoption. But then third, we see the reliance of relief. Yes, Lord. John says, but as many as received him. The first movement in the text is the response of reception. Before John talks about rights, before he talks about children, before he talks about becoming, before he talks about adoption, he talks about reception. That means, my brothers and sisters, that the Christian life does not begin with what you achieve for God. It begins with what you receive from God. That's hard for some of us. Because we were raised, you know, we were taught as children, you got to earn everything. Don't nobody owe you nothing. Amen. You've got to earn everything. We were trained to hustle. We were trained to grind. We were trained to push, to climb, to prove and perform. And there is a place for discipline. There is a place for work. There is a place for responsibility. But when it comes to salvation, you cannot work your way into sonship. Anybody glad about it? You cannot work your way into being a daughter of the Most High God. Amen. You cannot perform your way into adoption. You cannot impress your way into grace. John does not say as many as earned him. He does not say as many as deserved him. He does not say as many as cleaned themselves up good enough first. No, the text says as many as received him. Reception is the open hand of faith. Reception is the surrendered heart saying, Lord, come on in. Reception is the soul saying, I cannot save myself, but I can welcome the one who came. And when we receive him in the fullness of who he is. Some of y'all miss it. Amen. And I understand that there are situations and circumstances that, amen, cause us to feel depressed and cause us to feel less than. But sometimes we miss it. Amen. We miss the fact that we are walking around with the fullness of God in us. Amen. Amen. That's why I don't care what you say about me. That's why I don't care what you think about me, because at the end of the day, when I look at the man in the mirror, I realize that I'm not just looking at Joseph Garner. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Where are my folk who are not going to be bothered by what folk think about you? You're not going to be bothered by what folks say about you, because I have the fullness of God inside of me. We receive him. And when we receive him, we receive the fullness of who he is. Amen. Amen. We receive his person. We receive his pardon. And we receive his promise. To receive him is to receive his person. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm saying that when we talk about receiving Christ, we're not just talking about receiving his principles, not just his ethics, not just his example, not just his blessings. We receive him. Let me hear everybody say him. That matters. Because there are a whole lot of folk who want what Jesus gives without receiving who Jesus is. They want peace, but they don't want lordship. They want blessing, but they don't want surrender. They want rescue. Come on, y'all know how we act when we get in trouble. Lord, rescue me. They want rescue, but they really don't want relationship. But I believe there are two or three folk up in Pleasant Hill this morning who have lived long enough, who have walked this journey long enough to know that if I'm going to make it in this life and if I'm going to live in the life to come, I need all of him. Can I get just three or four and I'll make five? Amen. I want all of him. Oh, bless his name. But John says the invitation is to receive him. To receive Jesus means I welcome him as my Savior and my Lord. It means I don't just add him to my life as an accessory. I yield to him as the authority. Ooh, that's where it gets tough. Because y'all know some of us can't nobody tell us nothing. Amen. I run this. I run my house. Amen. I run this. But if you are going to receive the fullness of who Christ is, then he has to be more than just an accessory in your life. Some of y'all get madder when you leave your phone charger than when you leave Jesus. Y'all know how y'all act? Amen. You out somewhere and your battery is saying 5% and you don't have a charger. Amen. I was in a hotel the other day sitting in the lobby and a young lady came up to me and said, do you have an Apple charger? I said, I have an Android phone. We use the C charger. She said, no, I need the old charger for the Apple phone. I said, no, baby, I can't help you with that. And she was disturbed. She was, amen, amen. She felt like she was in trouble, but I don't know how you feel about it, but I feel like I'm in trouble when I leave home and I don't have Jesus with me. I need him. I need him. I need him. He's the center of my life. You cannot receive Christ partially. You cannot say, I'll take the comfort, but not the correction. I'll take the crown, but I don't want no part of the cross. I'll take the gifts, but I don't want him governing my life. You've got to receive all of him, his person. But not only do you receive his person, you also, here's an added thing, you receive his pardon. Y'all know our president, amen, he pardoned a whole lot of folks that had participated in the January 6th attack on the United States Capitol. Amen. He said, these are good people. And y'all know he pardoned all of them. But I come by to submit and suggest to us today that I don't care who the president pardons. If you have not been pardoned by the Lord Jesus Christ, you still gonna reap what you sow. Oh, some of y'all don't want to talk back to me this morning. I'm so glad that Jesus doesn't come empty-handed. He comes with mercy. Anybody need mercy? He comes with forgiveness. Anybody other than pastor need forgiveness? Amen. He comes with cleansing. He comes with pardon. And y'all, pardon is not God pretending that you did not sin. Pardon is God dealing with sin through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. Grace is to free us, but amen, it's free to us, but it was costly for heaven. The pardon we receive was purchased at Calvary. Somebody needs to hear this. Your past may explain you, but it shouldn't define you. Your failure may have wounded you, but it doesn't have to name you. Y'all know how some folk walk around, amen, they are identified by their wounds. You ask Sister Johnson, how you doing? Oh, my arthritis is here. Amen. You ask them how they doing? Oh, I'm so broke. I don't know what I came up to. Amen. Don't let your situation define you. We've got to start walking in who we are, but more importantly, in whose we are. I am a child of God. Thank God for pardon. That's why the old church used to sing, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not my resume, not my reputation, not my church clothes, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And when I receive his person and his pardon, guess what else I get? I get his promise. Oh my, oh my, oh my. Anybody know what the promise is? The promise is that God is not just saving me from something. He's bringing me into something. Amen. I'm glad he saved me from my past. But the Bible says it's a three-tenths thing. Salvation don't just take care of your past. I'm saved in my present. But not only that, I'm saved into my future. And so God is not just saving me from something. He's bringing me into something. He's not just saving me from hell. He's bringing me into his family. He's not just saving me from guilt. He's bringing me into grace. He's not just saving me from darkness. He's bringing me, the Bible says, into light. The promise is that the one who began a good work in you will carry it on. The promise is that nothing can separate us from the love of God. The promise is that even when you stumble, you have an advocate with the Father. That's the response of reception. To receive him is to welcome him in faith. But then the second thing I want you to see is that, amen, there is a reward of adoption. Look at the text. It says, to them he gave the right to become God's children. And I need to tell somebody here today, I never will forget, many years ago, there was a kid, amen, and his family, and I was counseling them, and this son had a problem because he found out that he had been adopted. And he felt like that he wasn't, amen, as good as children naturally born to parents. And I had to tell him that really, in reality, adoption is a higher order of relationship than even being naturally born. Why do you say that, Pastor? I say it because, amen, when you're naturally born to mama and daddy, they just get whatever comes. They may have wanted a good-looking child like Joseph and end up with something else. They may have wanted a child with long hair, and you came with short. They may have wanted a child with green eyes, and you came. They just get whatever you are. Amen. But an adopted child, they've got to go through a process. And during that process, the agency tells that parent that's trying to adopt. Now, I need to tell you, this child was born to drug-addicted parents. This child is going to have some behavior issues. This child has ADHD. This child is bad as all get out. But those adoptive parents look beyond all of that and say, I still want them. Is there anybody up in Pleasant Hill this morning who can shout off of the fact that God adopted you in spite of knowing he's omniscient? He knew what mess you would get in. He knew which mistakes you would make. But God looked beyond. That's why we say he looked beyond my faults. And he saw my needs. Oh my, thank God for adoption. And I need us not to rush past that. That word, it says, to them he gave the right. Let me hear everybody say right. To become God's children. Amen. Don't rush past that word right. John says God gives us the right, the authority, the privilege, the legal standing to become his children. Y'all, that's not just sentimental language. That's covenant language. That's courtroom language. That's family language. That's kingdom language. God does not just whisper, I like you. He declares, you belong to me. Adoption means God changes your status. And I know we often talk about being children of God in a general way. Amen. Like everybody automatically stands in the same relationship with God. Yes, all people are created by God. All people bear dignity because they are made in the image of God. But John is talking about something more specific. He's talking about a redemptive relationship made possible through receiving and believing in Jesus Christ. This is not merely creation, this is adoption. This is not merely existence, this is belonging. This is not merely being made by God, this is being brought into the family of God through the Son of God. And when God adopts you, he gives you a new identity. He gives you a new intimacy. He gives you a new inheritance. And so you ought to thank God if you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you are part of God's family, not because you've been so good, not because you've done it all right, but because God has adopted you. Give him praise in this place. In many African traditions, identity is not merely individual, it's communal. A child is not seen as an isolated self floating through the world. A child belongs to a people. Child belongs to a story. How many of y'all saw, what's the movie where they hold the baby up in the air? Wasn't that? No, not Lion King. Come on. Wasn't that Roots? Roots, I think. Amen. Some of y'all too young to remember Roots. Amen. But in Roots, when I think it was Kunta Kinte, when he was born, amen, his dad, after he had been born, his dad held him up in the air as if to say to the world, a child is born. And he is somebody. Oh my, oh my, oh my. And so in many African traditions, that's why naming ceremonies are so powerful. A name is not just a sound. Y'all, oh, I'm gonna get in trouble. Let me leave that alone. Y'all know how we name folk now. Oh my. Somebody say, move on, Pastor. Because I'm gonna mess around and call out somebody's name and they're gonna be up in here with that name. Amen. But in the African tradition, a name really meant something. Amen. They didn't name you Mercedes just because that's the kind of car they wanted. Move on, Pastor. Amen. 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 A name meant something. A name carried meaning. A name carries hope. A name carries history. A name carries identity. In some communities, when the child is named, the community gathers, elders speak, blessings are pronounced, the child is held up not as random, not as accidental, not as disposable, but as one who belongs to a people and carries a future. That's a picture of what God does in adoption. And just like our ancestors survived because they knew they belonged to something bigger than the chains that held them. They knew that they belonged to something bigger than the ships that carried them, bigger than the systems that oppressed them. The child of God survives because we know we belong to somebody bigger, bigger than Pharaoh, bigger than Caesar, bigger than Jim Crow, bigger than racism, bigger than the Louisiana State Legislature, bigger than the Supreme Court, bigger than rejection, bigger than grief, bigger than death. Tell your neighbor, we belong to God. And when you know you belong to God, you can stand in places that were meant to break you and still declare, I know who I am. I'm not merely the sum of what happened to me. I'm not merely the product of what they said about me. I'm not merely the evidence of what I survived. I am a child of God. That is the reward of adoption. But the text is not finished. Amen. The response is reception. The reward is adoption. And the reliance is belief. It is important to know what you believe. It is important to know in whom you believe. Do I have a witness today? You can believe that a chair exists and never sit down. You can believe that medicine exists and never take it. You can believe that a bridge exists and never go across it. You can believe that Jesus existed and still never trust him with your life. I close when I tell you that if you're going to live out your life as a child of God, you've got to believe in his name. You've got to believe that he's able to change your life. Is there anybody here who knows that there is power in the name of Jesus? It's the kind of power that will transform you, because real belief does not leave you the same. I said real belief does not leave you the same. It transforms how I see God. I no longer see him as distant and cruel. I see him as holy and loving. It transforms how I see myself. I no longer see myself as worthless. I see myself as redeemed. It transforms how I look at other people. I no longer see people as obstacles or objects or enemies. I see image bearers who need grace just like I do. Am I by myself this morning? It transforms how I handle suffering. It transforms how I handle success. It transforms how I handle sin. It transforms how I handle service. You ought to let God change you today. One thing I know is that when you are a child, you ought to look like your parent. Do I have a witness today? And if God is your father, over time, mercy ought to show up in your face. Grace ought to show up in your words. Truth ought to show up in your decisions. Love ought to show up in your relationships. Is there anybody here who's glad to be a child of God? If you know you are a child of God, then you ought to give him praise today. I'm so glad that not only will my belief cause me to trust in him, and not only will my belief cause me, amen, to be transformed, but my belief will cause me to triumph over my problems. I come by to tell you that when you are a child of God, you're on a winning team. Is there anybody here who knows that you're on a winning team? Cancer is real, but it ain't final. Grief is real, but it's not final. Depression is real, but it's not final. Betrayal is real, but it's not final. Death is real, but it's not final. How do you know it, Pastor? I know it because one Friday they hung out Jesus on an old rugged cross. They buried him in a borrowed tomb, but early Sunday morning he got up in triumph. He got up with all power in his hands. If you are a child of God, I dare you to get on your feet this morning and stand in victory. Let the devil know, you cannot defeat me. You cannot destroy me. I am a child of God. I know that I'm going to make it because I am a child of God. What you say doesn't bother me because I am a child of God. That That's why I've got joy in my heart. That's why I've got praise on my lips. That's why I've got clapping in my hands. That's why I've got running in my feet, because I know who I am. I am a child of God. Come on, children of God, celebrate like you know you've got the victory. Celebrate like you know that you're on the winning side. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Won't he give you joy in the place of sorrow? Won't he give you hope? Hope for tomorrow. If you know him, give him praise. If you know him, give him praise. If you know him, give him praise. Give him praise. We are the children of the Most High God. There may be someone here today.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in his word that in 2 Timothy, preach the word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season word.
Amen. There is a word from the Lord today we want to share with you for these few moments we have together. The gospel according to Luke, chapter number 1. I pray it'll make sense what the Lord wants to say. I'm going to do the best I can to make sense of it. But I pray you'll see what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us concerning our walk. We have been challenged the last several weeks to talk to us concerning the people in our lives and making sure we do a good job of evaluating and seeing who we have around us and who we're around. Then not only do we need to look at people, but look at ourselves as it pertains to people. Amen? Amen. So I think I have been blessed by these series of sharings. And I pray you have as well. Luke chapter 1, and we want to begin reading verse number 39 and a few of the following. Luke chapter 1, and want to begin reading verse number 39. When you find it, say, I got it. You need more time, say, wait for me. I hear you. I hear you. I hear you. I ain't waiting all day, but I'll wait on for a few more seconds. Luke chapter 1. Give God praise for our music ministry blessing us today. Amen. We are so blessed to have so many wonderful anointed people to help lead us in worship. We don't take that for granted. We don't take you all for granted. Can you just thank God for your church? Are you proud of your church? Amen. 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 Luke chapter 1, verse number 39. And scripture reads thusly. Wait a minute, you had it on the screen, y'all still need to be, somebody wait for you? Luke chapter 1, verse 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Say amen for the word of God. The grass withers, the flowers fade thereof, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. You may be seated in the presence of the Most High God. I want to tag this text this morning and share from the thought, someone to help me carry this. Someone to help me carry this. Everybody under the sound of my voice, I'm almost 100% sure that everybody under the sound of my voice is breathing. Just about 100% sure. Everybody listening to me right now has a pulse. You're breathing. Which means that not only is your heart beating, but from a spiritual standpoint, it means that God has a purpose for you. If God did not have a purpose for you, your heart wouldn't be beating. That should have encouraged somebody, because in some of our lives, we feel as though we have no purpose. We think we don't matter. We think that who we are does not matter to the upper echelon of people. Because we don't have a lot of money, you know, I'm just talking about a few of us. We got a lot of high rollers in here, but a few of us can admit we're not really balling out of control. Some of us need month and money to get as close together as you can. Some of us are not the elite. Some of us are kind of country, simple, about as country as a sugar sandwich. We are not very affluent. Some of us have matriculated to high levels of education, but others of us doing good just to know how to. I better leave that alone, but. Everybody today, whether you, no matter what your background, your ethnicity, your income, your vocation, your marital status, no matter any of that, every last one of you under the sound of my voice, your heart is beating because God is not done with you. Amen. I'm going to say that one more time because I don't think anybody received that. Because the trauma of your right now is going to have you not looking forward to the treasure of your not yet. So I need to say it one more time to somebody who's down today that the way it is now is not the way it's going to stay. Because if God still has your heart beating, you may be down now, but the God I serve has a way of taking you higher than you've ever been before. Can you receive that today? That it can and will get better. About three or four of us can testify that God would not bring you this far and then leave you now. Not the God I serve. The God I serve has a way of taking every trial and make it part of your testimony. Every storm and making you stronger. Every heartbreak and helping you become healed and go higher. For it takes some things to happen in our lives. But don't forget about the fact that because you have a pulse, that qualifies you for purpose. It's not your education. It's not how many people laid hands on you. Now, the problem we got this morning is that your preacher done spent about 5 or 6 minutes telling you that just because your heart beating, you got purpose. But you haven't received it because you still see you. You still see your experiences. You still see what's happening. And so I say that to you today that some of us, if you're not careful, you will self-sabotage what God has put in your life, that God has spoken a word over you, that you may not have been present when God did some things for you. Maybe in your mother's womb, God spoke a word or laid hands on your mother's stomach to say, this child will have purpose. But because of where you are now, you don't even get happy. You don't get excited because you keep dealing with regular stuff and regular people who, and if you're not careful, you yourself, somebody say me, myself. Me, myself, I will self-sabotage what God has said. Your preacher tried about 7 minutes ago now to tell you that you've got purpose because your heart is beating. You don't know all the books of the Bible. You don't know Hebrew and Greek and Aramaic, but you do know your heart is beating. And since your heart is beating, your God has a divine purpose for you, which means if I just keep waking up in the morning and keep walking step by step, I will walk into a divine purpose that God has for my life. Well, it's been 8 minutes ago now, and your preacher been trying to get somebody in this room to understand, because the very fact your heart is beating, don't matter where you've been, don't matter what you've done, don't matter what's been said about you, what you said about yourself, that your God, who sits high and looks low, the God who threw the sun in the sky, who put the stars in the sky, who put the wetness in the water, who's got sugar and salt, looking the exact same way but tastes different, the same God has a purpose for you, and you just hadn't walked into everything yet, but you got a purpose. Can somebody say purpose? And tell your neighbor real quick, it's in you. Tell them, encourage, help me preach today, because I got to do a lot of work now, see. Help me preach real quick and tell your neighbor, you got purpose. Yes, you do. There's something in you that God is going to manifest something in you, and it's going to change the world. I believe it, and I want to speak over your life today that somebody's life is going to be changed by what you got in you. It's some people I won't reach, but it's some people God's going to use you to reach. It's some testimonies that I may not have, but some testimonies you already have of the goodness of Jesus, because somebody knows what it's like to be in a ditch but God. Somebody knows what it's like to be in prison but God. Somebody knows when doctors give up on you, but here you are, but God. Is anybody in the house with a but God testimony? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I understand today that this is Mother's Day, and I know that this tends to be a very emotional day. I tend to understand that. I get that. I've been doing this long enough now to know that we are emotional people. And it's Mother's Day, and it puts you automatically in your feelings. And then I understand I've been dealing with us long enough to know that we come with the feelings to keep the feelings and showcase the feelings. It don't matter what God got to say. I came to be sad. I came to be miserable. I came to pout. But even you pouters got a purpose. Even you doubters got a purpose in your life on today. Listen, y'all, be careful. I said that to say all this, that you can even self-sabotage, but then you got some folk around you. That if you're not careful, they can sabotage and speak down and cause you to abort, get rid of, forfeit what God has spoken. You got to be careful today, because everybody in your circle may not be in your corner. I don't know who that was for. And we got to be very careful. This is why it's got to be a God thing. Can somebody say God thing? Because don't go to ungodly people to get godly confirmation. Folks who don't know your God can't tell you nothing about what God said over your life. And a lot of us have dashed some dreams. We've given up on some vision. We have forgotten about what God said because we're talking to people who want to bring us down. I watched it yesterday. Tate, you said it. I watched it yesterday. I watched yesterday. We were having a dinner fellowship for our women, and I watched Brother Smith put those crawfish in the boiler. And I watched those crawfish because it was hot when they was getting ready to get into. And the crawfish got enough sense to know this ain't what we finna hit. Like happening, they was headed somewhere they couldn't stop. And some of them tried to get out. Reggie laughed at us, and me and Marcy's about to get bit and pitched because some of them tried to get out. But every time you try to get out, oh no, you got to get a bit back in that tub. You're finna get back in that cooker. But I watched them, that the hotter it got in the cooker, the more certain ones got selfish. And the more selfish they got, they pulled down other ones so they could not get in the fire. They kept pulling down others because they didn't want to get hot, because they didn't want anybody to get higher than they was getting. They didn't want to get anybody to get freer than they got. They didn't want anybody to get out, so they tried to pull other people in, even at the expense of themselves. I'm going to try it again. That some of those crawfish knew their destiny, so instead of saying, I'm going to let it go, I'm going to bring somebody else down and have them deal with the same destiny I got. Come here. Somebody in your life don't want to see you make it. Somebody in your life don't want to see you succeed. That's why they keep bringing you negativity. That's why they keep pulling you down. That's why they keep bringing up your past. That's why they keep talking negative, because they don't want to be nothing, but they don't want you to be nothing either. Be careful. Be careful. You know, Texas Taylor to teach us something today, beloved, that you will need somebody to help you carry this. I know it's tough on you today because some of the people, your somebody may not be who you want to be, that somebody. Oftentimes, not every time, but oftentimes it's not even who you expect.
who God will use. Can somebody say God will use? It's not who you go get. It's who God will send. Can anybody thank God that God will send people even when you can't find nobody? See, too many of us are looking for something, but you don't know what to look for. But if you just hold on, God will send you the help you need. Chapter 1 of Luke, God has sent his angel Gabriel to announce, to make two monumental, significant announcements to two women, two mothers who need to have a meeting. But before these women can meet, they both got to get a message. Because without the message, you won't know what you're meeting about. Oh, Lord. It begins with this preacher's wife, this priest's wife named Elizabeth, who's married to the priest named Zacharias. And Gabriel comes and speaks to Zacharias. Now, I get it, because Zacharias is an older man, and the Bible said that his wife is older, too. He wasn't no sugar daddy. They were around the same age. And the Bible said that she was barren, that at the time she could not have children. She was past the years to be able to have children. And so a word came to Zacharias while he was performing his duty, and he said that God says, you're going to have the child that you've been wanting to have. Y'all missed this, so I'm going to try it again. Bible said there's this preacher and his wife, Zacharias and Elizabeth, who are older in age, and the Bible says she done got so old that she's barren. But God shows up through his angel Gabriel and speaks a word to Zacharias and says to Zacharias, your wife go have a baby. Zacharias, being a man of God, you would think when God speaks, because what you do is represent God. And so since you represent God, you know what God wants to speak. And here it is, God speaking to the one who's supposed to be speaking for the Lord, and the one who speaks for the Lord can't receive when God's speaking to them. That's a word for some of us in the leadership, that we so busy trying to lead folk and tell them what God say, but we don't even receive most of the time what God's saying to us. Do you believe the word you're preaching? Do you believe the word that you're teaching? Do you believe this word, or are you just in church hiding out? See, sooner or later, y'all, if the word don't work for you, how's it going to work for anybody else? That's a different sermon, different time. But if it don't even work in your life, how you expect it to work in other people's life? Here it is, the preacher, the priest. God speaks a word through Gabriel. The angel says, I'm Gabriel to speak the word to you, that you and your wife, I ain't get the wrong address. I know exactly who I came for. I know you. I know your wife. I know y'all old. Matter of fact, I waited till y'all got old to say this. In other words, you got an unbelievable word, but a believable situation. And what do you do when God speaks the unbelievable in your life? Because, see, here it is now, y'all. This represents to me many of us who think we're too past God's promises. We think we're too old. We done been doing it too long that God won't do nothing new in our life. I want to come today and minister to those of you who've been in church all your life. You've been in doing your good thing all your life, and ain't nothing happened. God says to somebody who will receive it today, you ain't seen your best days yet. I still got some glory. I still got some power. I still got some grace. I still got some sign. I still got some wonders I want to put in your life. But it's tough now, y'all. It's tough, because when God's people don't hear God, watch what Zacharias says. How can this be? I'm gonna try it again. God says, what's gonna be? Who says, what's gonna be? Zacharias says, how it's gonna be? Because Zacharias is looking at the how and don't hear the who. Because if God said it, doesn't matter how. If God said it, doesn't matter when. If God said it, doesn't matter where. I'm trying to talk to y'all, get it. If God said it, doesn't matter when. If God said it, doesn't matter where. If God said it, I ought to receive it and walk into it. So he begins to question God. He questions God, how shall it be? He said, you know, your problem is bigger than I thought. He said, I'm going to hush your mouth. Now, what I like about this is he wouldn't let Zacharias preach no more or talk no more. The people thought he was in some type of trance, but he really did. The Lord shut his mouth, because I cannot let you keep speaking unbelief. I ain't going to let you represent me and you don't believe nothing. I'm not going to let you talk for me and you don't believe in my testimony. If anybody ought to know about my goodness, it ought to be y'all who've been sitting up in my church, living under my grace, living under my mercy, walking in my healing, walking in my power. As much as I done provided for y'all, as much as I protected y'all, and y'all still go talk negative, you still go doubt me, I will shut your mouth.
I better leave that alone.
He shut Zechariah's mouth because he wouldn't believe. But here's the shout. He shut his mouth but still opened her womb. Can somebody thank God for his grace that even when you're wrong, he still has a promise. He'll still meet your need. He'll still come through even though he make you deal with the consequences of your action. I'm going to shut your mouth, but I ain't going to shut up her womb. Y'all missed it because y'all reading too fast. The Bible says, now, Zechariah, you don't believe I'm going to do it, but I shut your mouth. But you still went home. Y'all slow over there. Bible says Zechariah didn't believe it and said, no, God, how you going to do that? Because I'm old, my wife old. He said, but you going to do it. So God shut Zechariah's mouth. Zechariah went home. I say he went home and talked to Elizabeth. No, he ain't talked to Elizabeth. But something happened. Because there's something words can't say. He went home and God shut his mouth and wasn't nothing left to do. If you don't believe what God said, why you doing what it takes to bring about what God said? So the reason wasn't that God didn't want to do it, you're not putting yourself in position. Come here. It ain't that God don't want to give you a job, you don't want to fill out an application. It ain't that God ain't got a breakthrough for you, but you won't go to the doctor and let him confirm it. Because faith without works, talk to me, somebody. You believe something, Zechariah, because you went to the house. And your Bible says Elizabeth conceived. Now, I like this, y'all. You know another reason I like this? Because the angel ain't come talk to Elizabeth. He talked to Zechariah. I don't know what sign language Zechariah used, but Elizabeth got the message. Y'all too deep for me. Bible says that she got pregnant. Y'all missed it. Bible says before the angel spoke, she was barren. They're both old. Can't come, nothing can come from this. But when God show up and you walk in what God shows you, y'all see y'all too deep. If you just do what God say and receive what God say, even the impossible. Can I ask y'all a question? Would God tell you something and then make it impossible? So think about this for a moment. Why are we making what God say so hard? It's because we're looking at us. Mm-hmm. See, what most of the time what God wants to say ain't been done before. And since you have no reference, no point of reference, it's hard to receive because you need to see somebody else. And if God just saying something to you, that means God want to make you a trailblazer. But you so busy following people, you ain't ready to lead people. You so busy running behind folk, you don't understand God wants some folks running behind you. But you got to learn how to hear what God's saying in your life because you getting ready to help somebody else. All right? 5 months later, she done got big. And it's not from catfish. It's not from steakums and hamburger steak. She got a baby in her that she's taking care of. 5 months later. 5 months, there she is. In the family way. Pregnant. Got a baby in her. Who will be the forerunner for Jesus Christ. Paul's right there. In the 6th month, same God had the same Gabriel come share a word with this little virgin girl. This young little girl named Mary. Can the church say Mary? And she is engaged. She ain't married yet. She is a spouse to a man named Joseph. And she's in this little old village, insignificant village called Nazareth. And God has Gabriel send a word to Mary. And he says to her, now she's a poor little damsel. She's unmarried, waiting on Joseph, this carpenter, to marry. They are not yet husband and wife as we know it to be. But they are spouses. They are engaged to one another. She still got bills. She still got some struggles. And then God's going to come do something in her life that's going to be bigger than what she can handle. God chooses to use people who shouldn't be used. We talked last week about the usual suspect. Here comes another unusual suspect that God is going to use to change the world. He had the same preacher, same angel come tell Mary now. He says, blessed are you among. Now watch this, child of God. He did not say, blessed are you above. I need to say that again. He didn't say, blessed are you above women. Blessed are you among. Because it don't matter how much God put in you, you ain't ever above. See, the reason why some of us can't be helpful, because we're trying to be above and not learn how to be among. You don't know how to just be a person. You got to be too deep to eat a sandwich. You're too deep to listen to music. Too deep to say amen. But somebody learn how to be among, because them the very people that God's going to use you to help. But if you think you done rose above everybody, how you going to help anybody? I believe that long too. Blessed are you among women, for you are going to bring forth the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. His name shall be Jesus. He will save the world. God has chosen you. Fair maiden, he's chosen you to carry the Savior of the world. Now, she said, how can this be? She said, because I haven't known a man. That's King James. She says, that's King James. She said, I know not a man. HSV, Ham Standard Version, ain't nobody been there. I ain't done nothing to bring forth a baby. I went to school. I sat in health class, and I know what it takes to have a baby, sir. And what you telling me from the brink come in my life, how it's going to happen, and I ain't had no tag team partner. Anybody ever had God tell you something, but you don't see how because you don't think you meet the criteria? Y'all, what happened to my amens? God done spoke something, but you don't meet the criteria based on what you see. And it's based on your experience. See, she has not experienced a man, therefore how could a man put a seed in her and bring forth a child? And some of you missing out on what God has said in your life because you haven't experienced some things that you think that's necessary for God to bring it forth from you. Yeah, let me get out of here. God has spoken a word over y'all. But it was too good to be true because you ain't had some certain experiences. Because you think, somebody say you think. You think that you need that to be able to do that. But with God, y'all gonna shut down on the preacher. But when God says it, you already meet the qualifications. Now, let me say this. This is just Luke 1. This was an isolated situation. Don't try that and tell people that the Holy Ghost okay, y'all. Speaks a word. And she says, how can this be because I don't know a man? Now, it's a reason God didn't do her bad because she didn't have a certain understanding. But Zacharias, you're supposed to know better. That's why I shut your mouth. She didn't question because he couldn't. She questioned because she didn't feel like she met it. Zacharias doubted God because he didn't think God could do it. Mm-hmm. And I can't let you go represent me and you negative and pessimistic and don't believe. Amen. So how can he said the Holy Ghost gonna come upon you? He's gonna do all the work and shall perform it. He says, matter of fact, I got your cousin Elizabeth. Ain't that something? Elizabeth and Mary are cousins. We don't find out until he confirms something in Mary that Elizabeth and Mary are cousins. He said, I've already prepared Mary, Elizabeth with something in her that's going to help bring forth your son. Mary says, be it so, I receive what God is saying. Watch it. Now, all that talking to get here. A few days later, she goes to meet Elizabeth because she understands that if I'm going to keep this and hold this and manage this, I'm going to need some help. Okay, I'm going to try it again. God has spoken it, but I know on my own, I know me. And if I don't get some help with this, if I don't get the right support with this, if I don't get the right encouragement with this, I'm going to mess this up. Can I ask you a question and be nosy? Have any of you ever had something from God that you messed it up because you didn't have the right support? You didn't get help and you wouldn't let anybody help because you thought you had to be the boss to do it on your own. And God already, now watch what God gave her a clue. If you need some evidence that I can do it, you could check with Elizabeth. He don't tell her, go see Elizabeth. He said, I can tell you I'm doing it and I'm already working it out through your cousin Elizabeth. Mary says, that's help. Let me go talk to somebody who God is moving in. Let me go talk to somebody who is hearing from God like I'm hearing, and maybe we can come together and we can figure this thing out. So Elizabeth meets the criteria to be somebody to help Mary carry it. I want to help us today real quickly find some Elizabeths in our life. Are y'all interested? If you need somebody in your life to help you carry what God is doing in your life and not helping you do more damage to yourself and to what God has put in you, there are three characteristics that I want to lift for you, and I'm going to be out your hair, about how we can find someone to help us carry it. Y'all interested? Y'all ain't halfway answering me. Are y'all interested? Good, because I won't go shut up no way. First characteristic. Characteristic of someone to help is someone who is sincere enough to cover you. Who is sincere enough to cover you. Few days after Mary gets this word from the Lord, from Gabriel, she goes to Elizabeth's house. Elizabeth and Zacharias' house. Now, mind you, y'all, at the backdrop of this, this young lady sees that I have the Holy Ghost that's done this in me, but I'm showing physically. Yeah. And as I'm showing physically, everybody go know I'm pregnant. Yeah. And if everybody know I'm pregnant, they go assume that I've been up to no good. God said the Holy Ghost go do it, but people ain't gonna believe the Holy Ghost did it. People gonna say I've been fooling with Joseph. People gonna say I've been fooling with the wrong one. People gonna scandalize my name. People gonna start some rumors. People gonna lie on me. People gonna put me on Front Street. So I need somebody, as I handle this issue, cover me. I need to get around somebody safe who will cover me so I can hold on to this and not give up because I can't handle the pressure of people. Okay, I'm gonna try it again. Some of you in this room who under the sound of my voice, God has spoken over your life, but it was so much, it was too big for you, and you knew if people saw what God was doing, they would scandalize you, they would lie on you, they would put pressure on you, and because of the pressure, most of us don't want nobody looking at us. We don't want nobody saying nothing about us. We don't want to be the subject of everybody's table. We don't want to be table talk. We don't want to be lied on. Who wants to just be constantly put in somebody's business? And Mary was going to face the probability of everybody talking about her. She's going to be the talk of the town with evidence of what God is doing. And she's supposed to walk around and tell everybody God did this. You're right, Mary. Now, you know good and well, girl. Who you say that is? The Holy Ghost. Girl, please. Now it's all going to be on Snap. They're going to Mary. They're going to show Mary going to Brookshire's. Look at her. Don't like no Holy Ghost bump. Ain't nobody do a gender reveal with her. She all alone trying to handle something that she don't fully understand but has to walk in. Yeah. And see, some people who don't mean you no good, the wrong folk try to put you on blast, but the right folk try to cover you. Be very careful, because some people invite you to a trap. Now, it's easy to help you understand. Elizabeth was someone who had received the word and was walking in the word. Now, watch this. There's a scandal of that, too. Because we supposed to believe this old lady pregnant.